And now I have the pleasure of bringing on the owner of Taylor's Market. He is Danny Johnson. How you doing, Danny?
I'm good. Thanks. Co-owner with my wife.
Co-owner with your wife. There. Oh, who's the boss around that place?
We share responsibility.
Well, you and my wife is my boss, so I thought we would have something in common. You're a Del Oro guy. You went to Del Oro High School. We're just going through we're the same age, just going through all the different people we know. But your nieces are, one of my nieces is one of your nieces, right? Morgan.
Correct. Yeah, yes. Morgan Campos.
And we have many people in common. Morgan and Nick, who runs our accounting company here, is married to Ashley, her cousin. So yeah, small world. So trips down memory lane we could do later. Let's talk about your business. What is Taylor's Market?
Taylor's Market is a throwback. It's a little neighborhood grocery store that used to have in all the neighborhoods in this country. In Loomis Mutual.
Yes.
Penryn, Godot's.
Right.
Newcastle, Quality Market.
But you guys are in Sacramento.
We're in Sacramento. We're in between Land Park and Curtis Park. Still has a little bit of a small town feel. Mm-hmm. You can be out in front of the store. People drive by on Freeport Boulevard and honk, and new customers are always shocked. They're like, man, this is so small town. So in a big city, it still has that small town feel.
Well, talk to us about that feel. You say throwback to our younger viewers. They may not even be able to think back to like what it was like, let's call it the 70s, 60s or 70s. What's it feel like when you walk into Taylor's Market?
It feels like home, like family. We know mm-hmm. everybody by their name. You come in and you can get produce. You can get whatever kind of cut of meat you want at the meat counter. Special orders. We're old-fashioned butcher shop. That's what we're known for. Bakery, restaurant, wine, beer.
Yeah.
Grocery.
and that's your differentiation, right? Because there aren't that many. Who's your competition?
Ourselves, basically. I mean, that sounds bad, but there's no neighborhood stores left. The neighborhood stores have moved into cigarettes and lotto tickets and liquor. Mm-hmm. And we're still the neighborhood store.
Yeah.
So if you Google like a neighborhood store, that's still common in New York, few in Chicago, few in San Francisco, Sacramento, we're probably the only neighborhood corner grocery store.
Wow. And you guys have a meat market too, is that right?
Yeah, that's what we're known for is the butcher shop.
Right. So I know you guys, you've been instrumental in bringing the World Butcher Challenge to Sacramento. Talk to us about that event.
So June of 2017, we're on vacation, and I get this email about the World Butcher Challenge, and I kind of thought it was kind of hokey. My wife talked me into it. I was going to defer to my manager, and she's like, no, you can do this. Started doing some research, looking YouTube videos, going, yeah, this might be pretty cool. So we formed a team. It took us, we were only together for about 6 months. We went to Belfast this year, actually, uh-huh. 2018. Competed 12 countries. You have 3 hours and 15 minutes to cut up a half beef, half hog, whole lamb, 5 chickens. Display it in a butcher shop type fashion.
It's a race to do it all. And then how do they determine the winner?
There's a whole 4-page criteria of judging. So we ended up taking 6th place out of 12 countries. Out of the 8 new countries, we were second.
So you have this team of, is it men and women or is it all men?
There's men and women. On our team, it was all men. Our 2020 team we put together, we have a young lady from Davis. She's a very talented butcher.
Okay, so I'm just trying to picture this. You guys are racing as fast as you can to safely cut up these animals, and then you have to cut them into like size portions that people could eat?
Yeah, you have to make it appealing to the public. It's all retail environment.
Interesting.
So think of Iron Chef on steroids.
Mm-hmm.
That's what everybody's...
So you got yourself involved overseas in an event that was overseas, and at some point you're going to be bringing this to America, is that right?
Yeah, when we were looking at it, and I was talking to Mike Test at Visit Sac, I said, hey, this thing ties in really well with Farm to Fork and what we're doing in this community. So I made a presentation in Belfast, and Sacramento beat out Paris and Buenos Aires.
Wow.
And actually Singapore was late to the show, but it's pretty good company to be in for... our little humble city.
So this is like the Olympics of meat cutting coming to Golden One, am I right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Wow. Okay, so when is it coming here again?
2020, Labor Day weekend.
Okay.
So it'll be the start of Farm to Fork Month.
Wow.
Which is always September.
Exciting stuff. That's an entrepreneurial endeavor in and of itself, bringing a major event to town. But let's talk about your entrepreneurial journey. How did you decide to get into entrepreneurship?
All I ever wanted to do was be a butcher. So I... Quality Market, Newcastle. When I was a little kid, mm-hmm. my grandfather was a rancher in Ophir. We would deliver fruit, and the butcher would babysit me, and I would eat hot dogs. And I'm like, I'm going to be a butcher.
What part of the animal does the hot dog come from?
All the parts. All the parts.
Did you make hot dogs then as a work for the butcher?
I have made hot dogs, but it's not something that I do now. But so, you know, I told my parents I was going to own a chain of butcher shops up and down the West Coast when I was early in my teens. That's all wow. I wanted to do was be a butcher. And landed at Taylor's Market after meat cutting school.
Okay. How old were you?
I was 19. When I walked in, I told my parents, hey, I got this part-time job, and told my dad, I go, I'm going to own that place. And he's like, okay, cool your jets. And I was like, no, I'm going to own that place. And ended up becoming a partner in 1987. And then we bought out the rest of our partners in 2007.
Wow. So talk to us about that journey. So you're an employee. You're a butcher in this small throwback grocery store. And you bring the team together to buy out the company? How did it go?
Yeah, the owner, Roy Taylor, he wanted to sell. He started in the grocery business in Sacramento at the same time as Frank Cordy and Tom Raley. Mm-hmm. So they were all buddies.
Some of us, is Cordy Brothers still around?
Yes, they okay. are. They have one store over in Folsom Boulevard. So, you know, the opportunity came about, and four of us went in as partners. Partnerships can be tough sometimes. Within 6 months, we bought one guy out.
Down to three.
And then one of the partners who was the money man, Ed Shell, he's the one that kind of nurtured me and mentored me as a butcher. He was the butcher. And his son and I and himself were partners for 20 years.
Wow.
And then we got to where there was some changes where I could see where I wanted to take the store. Kevin wasn't as on board. And so we kind of made a decision. You know, I'd made him an offer. And he says, what if I don't take it? And I said, I won't make an offer that I wouldn't take myself. So wow. That's kind of been my philosophy. If I put something on the table, if you don't take it, I'll take it.
Interesting. And it sounds like he said yes.
He said, well, yeah, he said yes.
And, okay, so then now you have it all to yourselves with you and your wife. Talk to us about what's happened since you two bought out the company.
So we bought the company, and we had a vision of where we wanted to take. We really wanted to take advantage of the fact that we're a local, family-owned, little corner grocery store that mm-hmm. there's not a lot of in this country. We had a building next door that we were leasing to a ladies' gym and a beauty shop, and the health department wanted us to stop making macaroni salad in the back room on a hot plate, so we had to build a restaurant.
Oh.
And it wasn't going to be a restaurant. It was just going to be a kitchen. And my wife's like, no, it needs to be a restaurant. And I'm like, no, just a kitchen. But she does the numbers, and she's like, we need to turn some numbers out of this building. So now it's a restaurant. Supports the store.
Wow. Okay. Interesting. So thinking about entrepreneurship, right? Not everybody's cut out to be an entrepreneur. You knew early on that you wanted to, but it took you a while to get there. Thinking about the mindset, not everybody's cut out to be an entrepreneur. Who should not be an entrepreneur?
Someone who can't handle stress or doesn't know how to handle adversity. You don't know what you're going to get into. Every single day is different. So it's just how you can roll with the punches.
Yeah.
It's kind of like the boxer's analogy, you know. Can you take a punch?
How do you know if you're tough enough to take a punch? I mean, you know, it's like Mike Tyson says, you know, everybody's got a plan until you get punched in the mouth. How do you know unless you get punched in the mouth?
I don't know. I guess through life experience. I mean, everybody has adversity, and it's how you react to it. Every action has a reaction. And it's how I react to things, and it's how anybody reacts to things. I've had some personal adversity, and I just like, okay. People said, no, you can't do it that way. I'm like, no, I'm going to do it that way.
Okay, talk to us about personal adversity, because we know that that's those are character-building times. Talk to us about a time where you've had to face that adversity.
1994, I rolled a Jeep 3.5 times down a hill and severed my left hand.
Oh,
wow. And, this is a good commercial for UC Davis, so if you ever get hurt, their med center's awesome.
When you say severed, your hand
came
off?
It was a degloving injury, so it came off like a glove off the wrist.
Oh.
They put it back together. They told my wife that when she walked in the ER, they're like, what hand is he, left-handed or right-handed? And she goes, no, he's both-handed.
Oh,
so she kind of helped me
yeah.
save the hand because they were going to take it off. On the helicopter ride, I'm like, okay, things I can do with a hook. I could still cut meat with a left hand.
But yeah, it would have drastically affected your ability to cut meat, I'm sure, with a hook. I mean,
no, I get by.
Yeah,
I get by. I have like 85% use. They told me I would never use it. They told me it would be crippled at this point in my life, and I'm like, no, it's the mind over matter thing your previous guest had talked about. It's I told my hand it's going to work.
Interesting.
So it's kind of the same thing with an entrepreneur. Sometimes, you know, you go to a bank and the bank says, no, I don't like your bottom line. Okay, well, I'll look at other direction. Yeah. And then pretty soon the bank comes back to you and they see that you're thriving and go, hey, man, we want to make you a loan. Well, now I don't need you. And that's kind of comforting sometimes to say.
Well, it sounds like you have experience in that realm. It makes me wonder, where do you take a small market like yours with restaurant? Is there a growth trajectory that you have in mind? What's the vision for the future of Taylor's?
At this point, I like where we are. I'm getting more into the teaching. I want to mentor some of the young butchers. There's a lot of butcher shops up and coming, and guys are getting into it, and young ladies. And let them know that it's not – I wash a lot more dishes than I cut meat, and I'm still washing this morning. 6:30, I'm in there washing my meat cases. So people see the fact that, hey, man, you're getting a little bit of press, TV, and all that. No, it's not all about that. Start small, and I want to mentor, you know, young entrepreneurs in the grocery business and the butcher business, particularly the butcher.
Yeah. Well, what kind of person makes a good butcher in terms of, you know, obviously there's a physical side of that thing. There's an artistic side. Not everybody's cut out to do certain jobs. We're talking about not everybody's cut out to be an entrepreneur. Who's cut out to be a butcher?
You have to like people.
Okay.
You have to be creative and willing to adapt to, you know, some crazy things sometimes.
Like what kind of creativity?
You got to... How to get rid of certain items, different times of year. So 4th of July, you know, you're going to have a lot of hamburger. That's easy to sell.
Oh, okay. So from a merchandising standpoint, you've got to have creativity around marketing and sales and things like that.
This time of year, we're selling turkeys. 4th of July, you don't sell as many turkeys. So you got to kind of know how to move things around and what you're going to be moving. So now I have some hamburger. What am I going to do with the hamburger? I make meatloaf.
Ah, so okay. Well, that's interesting. So thinking about, you know, this is an entrepreneurial show. We have people who are, I don't know that people today are thinking, I want to grow up like you did, and I want to become I want to own that little tiny grocery store. They may be thinking, I want to be, own Raley's or something like that. But people aren't thinking grocery store these days, are they? Or is there somebody that's coming up in the ranks that says, hey, I want to buy out Danny one of these days?
Not so much that. I think, again, what we're seeing is, people are really wanting to get into the restaurant space, and they want to get into the butcher space. The butcher is, in the food world, considered the new rock star.
Still, I did not know that.
Either did I until I've been told a couple times, and I'm like, oh, that's cool. But I haven't been on an album cover, so I'll stick with just being a butcher.
All right, advice to that next guy in line. There's somebody out there that's dreaming about being a butcher, that's dreaming about a life in entrepreneurship. What would you tell those people?
Find someone who will mentor you and don't give up. And there are people out there that will mentor. And that's kind of what the next direction I want to do with Taylor's is turn it into a place where, hey, this is where I can train you. I teach classes, and I've hired 4 people out of the classes over the years, and they've went to different parts of the country, and we just keep building on that tree.
There's something very common that I see around successful entrepreneurs like yourself. They always want to help the next one in line. Danny, appreciate what you're doing. Glad we have the big butcher challenge, the World Butcher Challenge, coming to our hometown. Thanks for what you do, and I look forward to knowing you better.
Thank you, Mark.
All right, thanks, Danny. If you like our entrepreneurial stories, if you like the messages that we bring that inspire, if you want a little more Mark Haney, not everybody does, but if you do, feel free to subscribe, feel free to be part of our community, engage, comment, share. I want to get to know you better. You want to get to know me better. Follow me on all our social media platforms at The Mark Haney. I look forward to knowing you better, and let's get to know each other better so we can help build these businesses that we love.